Jay from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
How you doing, Darren?
I'm doing good, John. Doing all right. Living the life. Chasing the dream.
Nice.
Rocking into free world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay. that's good.
Yeah, that's enough.
That's enough.
Yeah, it's all right. How have you been? All right. You've been busy.
I've been all right. It's been it was a busy weekend. I went to the New York Comic Con.
Woo!
It was a 4-day weekend. I was there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah, and I had a press pass, so I was there for all 4 days.
All right, we get it. You're important. All right. Yes, the world revolves around John Trumbull. You get press passes. You hobnob with the elite and rub shoulders with the upper echelon. Yes, la la la.
That wasn't quite what I was saying, but okay.
That might be what I heard.
Yeah, all right.
We hear what we want to hear, John.
I guess so. But I've got a little bit of news about that related to SNL, but we'll get into that in a minute. But the main reason we are gathered here today is we're covering
ladies and gentlemen, we're gathered here today celebrate this thing called life.
We're covering Saturday Night Live's second episode of season 45 from October 5th, 2019. Phoebe Waller-Bridge hosting and Taylor Swift musical guesting.
Yes, Waller.
Yeah. Now we talked a little bit about this last week. Neither one of us were really familiar with Phoebe Taylor-Bridge or Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Conflating the two names. I am so very tired, ladies and gentlemen.
We are so unfamiliar with her. We don't know her name.
No, right? Even though I'm like staring at my phone where I literally have the name written.
Oh boy. I know of her. I just basically know her because like a lot of people I'm friends with on Facebook like swear by the show Fleabag that she did.
And right.
I know she also wrote on Killing Eve, which is a show I watch quite a bit.
Right.
I know she's from the UK, and I know she won a buttload of Emmys recently.
She did.
Like a whole buttload.
And a buttload.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So now she's like a big old bag of deal. So.
Yep.
And that's pretty much all I know about her.
She's an it girl.
Yeah, she's the one to look out for. She's the cat's pajamas.
Yeah, yeah. So we're looking forward to getting into that. But first, should I talk about what happened at the con this weekend?
Yeah, sure. Go for it, man.
So one of the guests there at the New York Comic Con was Lorraine Newman, original SNL cast member Lorraine Newman.
The OG.
And this was the first time she's made a con appearance on the East Coast.
Right.
So I was very excited about that. I was like, hey, I'm going to go. I'll make a point of go meeting Lorraine Newman. She's doing like autographs and photos and stuff
right.
throughout the day. So I went Thursday. I went over to her area and found her.
Her booth.
Her booth. And waited for her to come back. She was like doing a signing session or something like that.
Right.
She came back. And I introduced myself. I said, I'm John Trumbull. I co-host this SNL podcast. And she said, oh, that's a good topic for a podcast.
Hey.
So, yay.
Yay, all right.
And I asked her about the possibility of us interviewing her
right.
at some point in the future or me interviewing her at some point over the weekend. And she very politely turned me down. She said, I'm working on my memoirs right now, so I don't want to, like...
Got memoirs coming out.
Yeah, yeah. She's doing her memoirs for Audible.
Nice.
And so, it's all about her years in show business because she was a founding member of the Groundlings. She was original cast member on SNL. She's done lots of improv and cartoon voiceover stuff and all that. So she's got a lot of interesting stories to tell, and she didn't want to tell all those stories ahead
of
time.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Before her memoirs come out. But I did invite her like when it's about to come out and she's ready to promote it.
Right.
We would love to talk to her. So she gave me the
Yay.
Info for her people and we will see if we can make that happen.
Nice guy. So stay tuned. We you just might hear a interview with one of the original cast members of Saturday Night Live on this very podcast.
If we are lucky. Who knows?
Fingers crossed, people.
Fingers crossed. Ooh. But she was very nice, and I said, oh, you know, hey, can I mention that you're doing the memoirs? And she was like, oh, yeah, that's fine. That's
nice.
Yeah.
Right.
So she was very nice.
You heard it here first. Hot news.
Yeah. I took a picture with her, which I already put up on the Twitter page.
Right. On our Twitter spheres.
At SNL Nerd Show, if you want to check that out.
Yeah.
And here's the weird thing, is as I was leaving the con at the end of Thursday. I'm walking back from the Javits Center to the ferry to take the ferry back to Weehawken.
Right.
So I can cross the river, go back to Jersey.
Right.
I pass by this guy in the street, and he looks kind of familiar. And I turn, I'm like, I think that's Kyle Mooney. And I turn, I like tap him on the shoulder. I was like, excuse me, are you Kyle Mooney? He was like, yeah. And it was Kyle Mooney. It was genuinely Kyle Mooney. So randomly ran into a current SNL cast member on the same day I'd met an original SNL cast member.
The past and the present meet at the Jacob Javits Center.
So it was just a really quick interaction. I don't even remember if I said that I host an SNL podcast.
Oh, okay.
Or if I did, he didn't really react to that. But I was just like, oh, hey, could I, you know, take a quick selfie? And he was like, yeah, let's do it.
Pick for the gram.
And I took a quick selfie with him, and I said, hey, I'm looking forward to the show this weekend.
Right.
Because this was Thursday. The show hadn't happened yet.
And he didn't. Did he apologize for the whole sketch?
He did not.
He did not.
But he was. He was very nice.
Okay. Probably best you didn't bring that up.
Well, he was, like I said, it was very limited interaction, but he was very pleasant.
Okay.
Very nice. And now I'm going to feel bad the next time I criticize something he does on the show.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird.
Because he's a person now.
I know. Like, he's a human being, actually. Like, you know, like, with feelings and dreams, like the rest of us.
I know.
He's not like this faceless entity.
Yeah.
How are we going to criticize any of these people now on this podcast? We can't do it.
This podcast is built on a lie.
We sit on a throne of lies.
But that was just a neat, unexpected thing. Because, I mean, who expects to see him walking by at 6 p.m. on a Thursday in front of the Javits Center?
I certainly don't.
And he was just like, oh, you went to the con, and I was like, yeah, I'm just coming from there. And he's like, oh yeah, I was thinking about checking that out. And
so he's like a Comic-Con guy,
I have no idea.
Hmm.
I have no idea. Like I said, we talked for maybe 30 seconds, very quick interaction.
Okay.
You know, he was, I'm assuming, on his way somewhere. I'm assuming he doesn't just walk the streets of New York randomly.
He just doesn't,
not on the show, but
he doesn't roam the city streets like, oh, this damn city.
Now he sounds like a crime fighter.
Yeah, that's how I pictured him.
Now he sounds like he's Batman, and he should be like brooding on gargoyles.
Doesn't he? He does.
Maybe he does.
Yeah,
maybe he does.
Beck Bennett's like his sidekick.
Yeah,
like his ward.
I would watch that short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mooney Man. All right.
Mooney Knight.
Mooney Knight. Oh yeah.
But anyway, but that was cool. That was cool. I mean, how often do you get to meet two SNL cast members in a single day?
I still haven't. I saw Daryl Hammond on the street once, and that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, this podcast we meet the celebs here.
We're rubbing shoulders with the elite.
Yeah, I know. We're a big deal.
Yep.
Quite the big deal.
And it was fun. There were some other celebs there. I know Paul Rudd was signing, Tom Hiddleston was signing. I didn't get to see either of those guys because they had sort of big enclosed areas, and you had to wait in line forever.
They're in the big room.
So, yeah, it wasn't. It honestly would have taken too much of the time to
to make you swim through them. That sea of nerds.
Yeah, exactly. But the big thing I was going for was that Batman Beyond is being released on Blu-ray very shortly. And they've remastered the show on, and it's I know the first season is up on I think Hulu and the DC Universe streaming app.
Okay.
So they did a big panel about that. I was able to get in the press interviews for that, so I was able to talk to a lot of those actors, and that was a thrill for me because I'm a huge fan of the DC animated universe.
Right on.
So that was really cool.
Oh,
so,
nice, man. Wow, what a great weekend you had!
So it was great. It was a fun weekend. It was a tiring weekend because you're walking around, you're on your feet on that hard concrete floor for four days in a row,
walking the streets, saying this damn city.
And I'm walking,
perched on gargoyles.
I think the first day I walked something like 5 miles total.
Oh,
you're just going back and forth from one end of the Javits Center to the other.
So it's a good workout, good cardio,
good workout.
Yeah,
worked my core.
You worked 5,000 miles, and you'd walk 500 more.
Yes,
yes,
yes.
La da da da,
la da da da,
la da da da,
la da 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 da.
The '90s are alive and well here on the SNL Nerds podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, that sounds you had a great weekend, man.
I did. But you know, I still managed to get home and in time to watch the show.
Yeah, yeah.
I even watched the rerun at 10 p.m. They had an show from 5 years ago with Chris Rock and Prince.
Oh shit!
And that
I totally missed that.
That was fun. I'd kind of forgotten that one.
Yeah, that's the one where like Prince. He just did one performance. It was like an 8-minute performance in the middle of the show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
It was like a medley.
Yeah.
His songs.
And oh, shoot. I wish I'd known that. I would like that.
It was cool. Well, I'm sure you can find it.
Yeah.
Streaming or somewhere.
Yeah. Dark web.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. I'll look for it. But until then, we saw this episode with Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Taylor Swift.
Yes, we did.
Yeah,
yes, we did. So should we dive in?
Let's dive in.
Okay. So starting out, we had a cold open. We had the office of the vice president with Beck Bennett as Mike Pence, who is the vice president.
Yeah.
We had Kate McKinnon as Rudy Giuliani, and we had A.D. Bryant as William Barr. And they're just talking about all the
impeachment,
all the trouble that the Trump administration is in right now.
Yeah, it's just a big old hullabaloo and big old sticky bumber clot.
Yes.
Is that the word?
It is not. This was interesting just because we're seeing SNL like approach the Trump administration without Alec Baldwin once again, because I'm assuming. Yeah. Alec is going to be playing Trump sparingly at best this season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that, really. I mean, at this point, it's just, I think I said on the last episode, I'm just kind of tired of it. I think they know that, so they're like, all right, we got to find ways to talk about the Trump presidency without having the guy playing Trump in it.
Right.
So, this is one way to go about it.
So they had to get a little more creative. Another thing they did in this was they had another little bit of stunt casting. We had Matthew Broderick as Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. And Keenan came in as Ben Carson.
Yeah, the only original member of the Trump administration, I believe.
I think they mentioned that.
And, like, as soon as they said that, I was like, is he?
Yeah.
And then I look, it's like, oh, yeah.
I mean, well, like Ivanka and Jared are still around.
Well, I mean, a family. You can't.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably could fire
family. He would. I wouldn't put
it
past him.
He would, yeah. I would put nothing past him. But yeah, but like as far as the original administration, like it's only been like 4 years. And it feels so much.
Yeah, like 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah, because he's inaugurated beginning of 2017.
And it feels so much longer.
It does.
So much longer.
It does. I mean, hopefully the end is in sight soon.
End is nigh.
But we'll see.
Fingers crossed, people.
But what did you think of this sketch?
I thought it was okay. I mean, it was weird. It just seemed like they were mentioning a lot of like kind of pop culture references. Like there's one point where Mike Pence says, "Oh, I was supposed to see the movie Judy with Mother," and that was a joke. And
that was kind of their running joke that Mike Pence is a repressed gay man,
homosexual,
because he's a this fervent anti-gay crusader guy who like believes in stuff like conversion therapy, and like so often people like that they end up to be doing homosexual things themselves.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, they did have a good joke about that too, where I think they say we need to get our story straight.
Yeah, and he says even if they're not straight now, they could still be converted to straight, right?
That was a good joke.
That's a good line.
I like that. But then, of course, they had Matthew Broderick playing Mike Pompeo. They, of course, put in a few Ferris Bueller jokes in there too. Like there was one point where he was supposed to be testifying, I think one of the judges, tries to find him. Oh,
Pompeo.
Yeah, exactly.
Pompeo.
Exactly.
But they were doing the Ben Stein voice, the teacher.
And then where Mike Pompeo was sitting, where in his place was a mannequin.
Yeah.
Which is straight from Ferris Bueller.
And when he exits, he says, impeachment moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you might miss it. Which is, line from Ferris Bueller.
Exactly.
I
thought it was, another thing they did, like they brought in Stephen Miller. And was played. Stephen Miller was played by like an actual snake.
Yeah,
like they like
snake in a basket.
Snake in a basket. They opened, and of course, when the real snake was like a puppet snake, but still, like hey, Steve, how's it going?
It was cute. It wasn't a real strong opening. It was very dry. It was very restrained. I liked Beck Bennett's Pence when he was more exaggerated, where he was like more obviously flamboyantly gay.
Right.
I thought that was funnier.
Yeah, no, I agree.
He was much more restrained in this sketch and he's such a dry guy or such a dry character.
Right.
You know, there's not a lot of there unless you exaggerate him wildly.
Yeah,
so.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's true. And also there was another point where Giuliani came in, he left. The running gag in this sketch was like everybody was kind of abandoning ship. Mm-hmm. People saying, "Oh no, I'm just gonna leave. I'll be right back." And of course, you see them like with a suitcase and putting on a hat.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I think Rudy Giuliani was coming back from his interview with CNN, and he still had his makeup on, and it was like the makeup from the Joker.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's happening now.
Yeah. I do enjoy Kate McKinnon playing Rudy Giuliani because she just goes so out there with it.
Like all Nosferatu'd up.
Yeah. And her Giuliani is so insane. Well, I mean, the real Giuliani is pretty insane right now too.
Yeah. Oh my God, that came out of nowhere. I thought he was like
sane.
Dude's
losing it, man.
I caramba.
I saw a story this morning. He was like, I have these three affidavits, and they were like printouts from like Breitbart or something.
Yeah,
and he was pretending they were affidavits.
He's turning into like Grandpa Simpson. He's just losing his marbles.
Nuts.
Like, how is no one just sitting him aside and be like, hey man, you should just sit here. Don't talk to anybody anymore.
I don't know, but it wasn't the strongest opening, which
it
didn't give me a great feeling about the show ahead. But but I think things picked up from there.
It did, yeah. The opening was not great, but the show did pick up.
But next we had the monologue with Phoebe Waller-Bridge. I realized she actually has like a birthmark or something on her forehead.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
I hadn't noticed that before. I guess she usually combs her hair over or something. Oh. She's like a little comedy Mikhail Gorbachev.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say Harry Potter, but that Mikhail.
Oh, hey, that's a more current reference.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Mikhail Gorbachev? Wow.
Yeah, well, that was the first thing I thought of.
All right. But yeah, I did not notice that either until she did her monologue.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This monologue was like a straight up monologue. Like it was just her talking and just chit-chatting away.
Well, she's a comedy writer herself, so I'm sure she like took point on this monologue.
Yeah, and actually, I think I read somewhere that she actually did like a one woman show in the UK like 2 years ago. So maybe like performing and talking and it's like second nature to her.
Very much in her wheelhouse, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
But she she had some great lines in there. She was saying like it's a great time to be a psychopath right now. It's like very trendy. She said like that Fleabag was just a way to get Andrew Scott to dress up as a priest and say he loved me.
Aww.
Which apparently took her a few seasons to get to that, but she was very happy. And she talked about how apparently people are really wild about Andrew Scott as a priest on that show. He's
hot
priest. And,
yeah, like a lot of people online are like, oh, that dude is smoking.
Yeah, and she said she figured out what it was that he listens. And that is what turns on the women folk so much.
That's a good line. I'll admit that. It's like, oh yeah, just listen, guys.
And and then towards the end, she was talking about how when we're not using our genitals, they're just sitting there.
Yeah,
they're just sitting there waiting. And
mine just sitting here right now.
Yep, mine too. But it is kind of weird when you think about it.
So let's not think about it. All right, we'll think about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just hanging out.
They're just there.
Yeah.
Not doing any particular thing right now.
No, just,
they're
just
not using either of their intended functions.
Yeah, just
just
sitting by the dock of the bay.
Yep. They're like, here if you need me.
Just give me a holler.
Call me if you need me.
Just tap me on the shoulder.
Yep.
The shoulder.
Yeah, it was a funny monologue.
It was good.
It was good. I thought that got the show off to a stronger start.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
Next, we had our first sketch game show, a returning sketch.
Returning sketch.
What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah, this sketch, I think debuted like when Paul Rudd hosted it.
Yeah.
And it's basically the same thing. It kind of hit the same beats. Hosted by Kenan Thompson, who plays Elliot Pants. And it's just basically three contestants, and they have to, he showed them a picture, and then he asked the contestant, all right, what's wrong with this picture?
And it's something very obvious that you can tell usually at a first glance.
Right.
And the guests all make hilariously stupid, hideously wrong guesses.
Yes, very much so.
Like the first thing was that we had basketball players and they're using a soccer ball instead of a basketball. Mm-hmm. And the first guess is, well, something gay happened during the last play and now it's weighing on the whole gang.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. What?
So they're just guesses where it's like, they are so wrong. You're just like, what? No. What? How did you even think that? I enjoyed this sketch. I enjoyed it the first time they did it. I enjoyed it this time around.
Yeah, that is okay. It's like, sometimes a sketch will happen that'll hit the same beats. And I know sometimes mm-hmm. we talk that, that's not great. But then there's sometimes where if it's charming enough and it's, the jokes are there, you'll let it slide.
I mean, there's a definite formula to it. And I mean, particularly with a game show sketch, that gives you an instant structure.
Yeah.
You got the host, you have the three contestants, they do funny stuff, the game comes to a close, and boom, you got a comedy sketch.
Gotcha, yeah.
But this is only the second time they've done it, so I'm not sick of it yet.
Okay.
So I am still enjoying it.
Got it. All right.
It is fun.
Yeah, this is a fun little sketch.
Yeah.
I dug it.
And, I thought everybody did a nice job. We had it, Keenan as the host, LA Pants, we had AD, Kyle, and Phoebe Waller-Bridge as the contestants. So it was good. I enjoyed that. There's some funny stuff. There's one woman who has her refrigerator open. She has a saw in there, and they said, "Oh, she just posted a death threat on Facebook, and now she's waiting for the likes to roll in." Here's another guess. She's letting a dog lick her under the table, but it's a stray, so it's not awkward.
Yeah, that was. I'm surprised they got that past.
They get twisted.
Yikes.
With this stuff.
Like, how did they get that past the folks upstairs?
Well, it's late night.
All
right. I guess so. So.
Ooh, that's some Randy talking.
Yep. Yeah, my virgin ears. next, we had a film segment called Love Island, which is basically like a British dating show, sort of like a Temptation Island.
Yeah, I looked it up. There's an actual show.
Is it?
Yeah, it's an actual show in like the UK. It's because I think the thing is they're saying, oh, people in the UK, they're just as trashy as us here in the US, and that's like it's a reality dating show where it's. People, just the worst types of people looking for quote unquote love and hooking up. And
I believe they described it as the best looking people from the worst towns hook up for no reason.
Yes. Very much so.
Mikey Day's character was from a town called Murder Suicide, which was that's so random. I like it.
Yeah. So it's basically like Jersey Shore types. And
yeah. It gives the cast an opportunity to all do their freaky English accents.
Yes. Very much so.
Yeah.
Actually, wasn't Chloe Fineman in it? She had like a pretty good like Irish accent.
She was one of the contestants. We also had we had Cecily.
Beck was there.
Beck, Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Chris Redd was there.
Mikey Day, Chris Redd, Adie Bryant.
The whole
bunch of people. I noticed when I was rewatching the sketch this morning, so the show was more fresh in my mind, because we're taping this on a Monday morning because I was away at the con.
You're a big deal. We get it. Oh my God. Let it go, man. Let it go.
I'm really grateful to have the support of all my friends. But I noticed there was the surprising continuity error because they were doing towards the end of the sketch, they're doing that thing where the contestant picks one of the two women. Right. And we had Phoebe and Cecily as the two women. And he picks Phoebe's character.
Yeah.
And then the camera cuts to like a reverse shot, and then suddenly Cecily is standing on the opposite side where the other contestants were standing. And I was like, oh, wow, I didn't notice that during the live show. But, it was this weird continuity error.
Interesting.
But, it was a film segment, so it wasn't.
Yeah. People at SNL, you thought you'd get away with it.
Yeah.
You get nothing past the SNL nerds.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Because we're nerdy and obsessive and we watch this stuff.
Yeah. And there was also one part in that sketch where the women on that show took off their makeup to be like natural. And then AD took off her makeup. And then did this weird thing where like after she took off her makeup, her face was just like a thumb with eyes.
Yeah. With like the googly eyes and the mouth.
It kind of screwed. It kind of like, whoa.
And they put this in. With like graphically with computers,
and then like I think one of the women were doing a confessional to the camera saying, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she's a really nice girl, but I think her face just might be a thumb.
Yep,
it was weird. I was like, whoa,
weird random moment in there,
yeah.
But it was kind of fun to see everybody sort of made up as trashy English types.
Yeah, I didn't know the English were I thought they were all classy and like professors and
No. Apparently they can be just as screwed up as we are.
Yeah.
USA.
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 Our reach is strong.
Yes. So next we had a sketch of a newscast. We had WANU Midday News with Keenan, Ego, Alex Moffat, and Phoebe as a four-person news team.
Right. And, basically, the premise of this one is the news team kind of talks about these events that happened, like a gas station robbery happened, and then they... what was it?
The suspect is identified as a white male,
yeah.
And Keenan and Ego immediately go, love it!
Yeah, they do like a high five.
They are so happy it is not a black man who is robbing the gas station.
Exactly. And like, and once I saw that, I was like, oh, I see where they're going with this.
Yeah, and then the next story they report on is about a Ponzi scheme, and then much to their surprise and chagrin, the guy behind the Ponzi scheme is a black guy.
Yeah.
And then the white anchors are like, yes!
Yeah, that's one for us. Yeah. That's one for you.
And then it becomes a competition between the two white anchors and the two black anchors over who's doing more crimes.
Yeah, and then like Chris Red, he's like the weather guy, and he chimes in and saying, like, Hurricane Chet is coming in. Chet's a white guy's name. So that's one for us, baby.
Yeah,
and then it becomes like a competition, and like... I liked it. This might be the sketch of the night for me. I really dug this.
Yeah, this was up there for me. This had like more edge than you usually find in an SNL sketch. It kind of reminded me of like this old Key and Peele sketch where they were the newscasters and the white newscasters were reporting on weather conditions of black ice, and they're saying black ice, and it sounds very much like black guys.
Oh, wow.
And so they're like, look out for black ice, everyone. Black ice is very dangerous. And then Key and Peele are like two other people on the news team, and they're like, well, maybe black ice just doesn't get the opportunities that the white ice gets. Maybe societal differences are...
I don't remember that. Wow, I got to look that one
up. Oh, it was a great one. It was a great one. Right, yeah, cool. Just Google Key and Peele, black ice.
Black ice.
And you will laugh.
I will. All right. And I really like this sketch too. I mean, I found it was written by Ego and Chris and Michael Che.
Okay.
I think Brian Tucker or something like that.
Okay.
That too.
That's, the name sounds very familiar.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they wrote it, and... I like this sketch. It kind of felt like something that would have been on the old Chappelle Show sketch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said, it had a little more edge and bite to it than you usually find in an SNL sketch. And, and I really like that.
Yeah. And it is something that, like, you know, black people, or I guess any ethnicity does, where, like, if they hear a crime happen, then they say, you know, such and such was a black person. Everybody's like, black people are like, oh, god damn it. That's
And then... You
know, like, we never want to hear that.
Right, yeah, because that doesn't make us look good.
Yeah, it's like when somebody from Florida hears, like, a news, like, something about the news, like, something weird happening, like, you know, somebody on PCP doing Lord knows what.
And right.
When they hear it happens in Florida, they're like, oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. It. Ruin it for the rest of us.
Now I got to hear about this at work.
And at the end, we had a couple of criminals who were... there was like, oh, you know, there was a guy who robbed a Cracker Barrel. I was like, okay, that's a white guy. And I was like, oh, there was a guy who was rock climbing in Utah. And there was like, wait, he's named Laquan? What? And then at the very end of the sketch,
Laquan,
they were like,
rock climbing?
Yeah.
And then Utah?
At the very end, there was like, oh, a man dressed as a Joker. Damn it! Because they just know that's a white dude.
And I like that at the very end, like, Ego and Keenan were celebrating. Like, yeah, we did it! All right, good game, guys. Good game. Good game.
It was nice that they were playful about it. I mean, it was cool.
This was a strong sketch. I really like this sketch.
It's a really strong sketch. Mm-hmm. Really like this one.
Next up, The War in Words.
The War in Words. This was another thing for the History Channel where we have letters home from a soldier. This is something that Mikey Day has done before. He did this with...
the Claire Foy episode?
Yes, yes. And it was also on the Maya and Marty variety show.
Yeah, we mentioned that.
That they did, which we discovered before. So this is... Like, the second time they've done it on SNL, but, like, the third time overall, I think.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's pretty much the same sketch. It hits all the kind of same beats. Excuse me. Where it's, like, a man at war writing home to his wife, his lovely wife, and, and the wife just being, she just writes, like, love you, too.
Yeah. She's just, like, her first letter back is just literally, thanks.
Yeah.
And he's and he keeps pumping her for more information, and she just drops these weird nuggets of information.
Right.
Where, like, he mentioned, the soldier mentions he misses their dog, and she's like, I miss our dog too. And then he's like, wait, what happened to our dog? What, you've got to give me some context.
Yeah, and then she's, and then, what was it? Oh, the one thing where, I think, what was it? Oh, because he mentioned that one of his friends died.
Yeah.
And he mentioned, oh, there was a French nurse looking after him.
Right.
And, you know.
And she said this about him before he died. And then she's like, well, why are you off with all these French women? And
yeah. Who's this French bitch you're talking about?
And then she sends a picture of herself at a party or at a movie. Yeah. And she's in the movie with Hitler.
Yeah. And she's like, why are you with Hitler? And, of course, she says, oh, I see. You, when you're talking about your French whore, that's fine. But when I go to a party with Hitler, it's a problem.
Yeah.
I'm glad your father wasn't alive to see this.
What? Has my father passed? Away. What happened to my father? This is the first time hearing about this. Also, still rabidly curious about the Hitler of it all.
Yeah.
Which, that was such a lovely, funny, offbeat way to phrase it. Yeah. Rabidly curious about the Hitler of it all.
The Hitler.
I loved that.
The Hitler of it all. And then she said, like, oh, your father couldn't take it anymore after your mother passed away.
And he's like, my mother passed away as well?
It just escalates and keeps going.
And then he mentions their child, and he's like, tell our son how much I miss him. And then she writes back, tell him yourself. And then it cuts back to Mikey Day, and he's like, why would you send a five-year-old boy to a battlefront?
This is a good sketch.
It's a great sketch. I enjoy it every time they do this. Yeah. They haven't done it too much.
Yeah.
I still would like to see it more. If they do this like one other time this season, I would be very happy.
I think if they have like another British woman
host,
that seems to be their go-to for British women.
It works very well with a British woman playing the other character. But we have some cast members who are adept with the accents.
That is very true.
You know, we could do this with Kate or Cecily or Chloe Fineman. But, you know, I guess you want the host in there just to give the host a substantial part.
Absolutely.
Because it's basically just a two-person sketch.
Right. So,
that's British host.
Yeah, British. But, yeah, British and host. I mean, Mikey Day's a great straight man. And, like, he plays it off well. And
Mikey Day plays incredulous very well.
Yes. That's a big word.
Yeah. Well, I'm a smart man. I'm a smart man. I hobnob with famous people at comic conventions.
I have many leather-bound books.
Another leather-bound books that smell of rich mahogany.
I'm sorry. But yeah, the sketch was a good one.
Yep.
And
Thumbs up.
Yeah, and next up we had a performance from Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, I have heard of her.
Yeah, yeah. I was actually kind of surprised because she did a song, her song Lover, but I was expecting like more kind of upbeat, big dance number, like maybe some celebrity or something.
That's
like that.
That's kind of what you think of with Taylor Swift.
Yeah, like some big fancy fancy pants dance number, choreograph, and all the bells and whistles, balloons, and confetti.
Yeah, they were more restrained.
Yeah, both of her performances were very restrained. Like in this song, Lover, it was just her and an acoustic piano.
The acoustic piano.
Piano. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
That famous instrument.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And
like it much better than the electric piano.
Yes, exactly.
Which I think is a thing. Synthesizers.
Keytars.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so maybe I wasn't too crazy saying
I want to see Taylor Swift with a keytar now.
Right?
Ah.
That's all I think about.
I never realized I wanted to see that until just this moment, but now there's nothing I want to see more.
People, hashtag it. Taylor Swift with a keytar. Let's get this.
Taylor keytar. Hashtag Taylor keytar.
Let's get this grassroots movement going.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it was super subdued, super like stripped down. It was just her and a piano singing Lover. It was very nice.
Yeah, it was a good song. I enjoyed it. You know, Taylor Swift is not my usual thing, but she's certainly a talented performer and songwriter. And yeah, I enjoyed this.
I know I think a few people were saying, oh, we kind of needed like something more upbeat for the show, but
yeah,
I mean, I get that too.
I can see
like,
that.
You know, you don't want to put your people to sleep because like usually when a performer comes on, it's always, they do something upbeat for their first performance and maybe something slower.
A ballad or something. Yeah.
The cool down period toward the end of the show,
right?
So the fact that she started with this ballad, I was like, oh, that's an interesting.
Yeah, and the second number was kind of along the same lines. We had she was joined by Lenny Pickett from the Saturday Night Live. Orchestra,
right.
Who's the music director of SNL? I looked him up on Wikipedia this morning. And he has done so many albums, man.
I know he was in the band Tower of Power.
Yeah, he was in the Tower of Power, and he was like apparently a big session musician. So like Wikipedia listed like all his albums by decade that he's or stuff he's played on. Oh. It's literally hundreds of stuff.
What's the big ones? Do you remember?
I don't have the page up, and okay. I didn't take any notes on it. But he's done a lot of stuff.
He's a big deal.
And he's also like a apparently a teacher at New York University.
Really?
Yeah.
Teaches and does the essence?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. So, right. Yeah. Thumbs up to... Hat tip to Lenny Pickett there.
Yeah.
But it was nice. We had like, you know, some dry ice and...
it was like a...
Light bulbs and stuff. So it was... Yeah, they're both impressive set pieces.
Yeah, it's very sexy. It's like Broken Wings or something.
Well, you know, you add saxophone to a song, it immediately gets at least 10% sexier.
Dude, can I tell you how much I love saxophones in pop songs?
Tell us how much you love saxophones in pop songs.
I really love saxophones in pop songs. It's like my thing. Like, as soon as I saw a saxophone in this thing, I was like, yo, this is about to be lit.
And we don't get as many saxophones in the pop songs as we used to. Ever since Clarence Clemons passed away.
Oh, R.I.P.
R.I.P., big man.
Yes.
But we don't have... As much saxophones. Like, the 80s were the heyday of saxophone.
The
80s
was the peak. Careless Whisper.
A veritable saxophone paradise.
Oh, my God. Careless Whisper. Yeah. What else? Was it?
Hungry Heart.
Hungry Heart.
Everybody got a Hungry Heart.
Baker Street.
Yeah.
Maneater. Hall & Oates.
Yeah,
You Belong to the City.
Oh, yeah, Glenn Frey.
Glenn Frey. He did it twice. He did that, and he did The Heat Is On.
Yeah.
And I still... I love it. And, you know, of course, the big one, I Still Believe by Tim Capello off the Lost Boys soundtrack.
Sure.
That's, I mean, my God. Just a greasy man playing saxophone by a bonfire.
Wait, what about St. Elmo's Fire?
Oh, yeah.
I can hear the music playing.
Higher and higher.
Yeah, there's got to be saxophone on that, right?
I don't think... I got to listen to that again. I don't think there is.
If there's not, there should be.
I should know this. I'm a saxophone aficionado. I pride myself on it.
You are. Your business card says Darren Patterson, saxophone aficionado.
That's right.
And the weird thing is, that's the only thing your business card says.
That's all it needs to say.
Nothing about you being a comedian. Nothing.
I don't want to bury the lead.
John. Right. Yeah. No, just Darren Patterson, saxophone aficionado. There's a little picture of a guy playing a saxophone and Darren just like smiling, giving a thumbs up.
If you don't think I'm going to make 100 business cards that say just that at the end of this podcast, you're sorely mistaken.
I want to see it.
Done and done.
I want to see it. So,
but yeah, that was the tangent.
Yeah.
But yeah, her second song was called False God, and it was very, like, very mellow, slow, moody. So she did, like, two sort of slow, moody songs.
Yeah.
They're both nice. I mean, I dug them.
Yeah, I guess Taylor, she's trying to change her image a bit. She was like, you know, I'm not just a pop princess anymore. I'm an adult. I have depth and
I'm a real live artist.
Stuff and
yeah.
Yeah.
I do things.
I write about important things. I write songs with saxophones.
I mean, come on. What if saxophones, man. Saxophones. The most important of the brass.
Are you still trying to look up like some important saxophone information?
You are, no, I'm looking at the albums that that Lenny Pickett played on. So,
oh, okay.
We'll
see if there's anything notable.
Rufus and Chaka Khan, I see. Rufus reaching Chaka Khan, Grand Central Station, Tower Power, Bill Wyman. Wow, nice. Elvin Bishop, Tommy James.
But I did not lie, right? There's a lot of stuff on there.
Yeah, Billy Preston, god dang.
Yeah.
This dude's been around. All right, we'll keep going. When I see like one that's like a big standout, like Thriller or something.
Okay.
I'll say something.
okay.
But yeah, and then after that, Weekend Update.
Weekend Update with Colin Jost and Michael Che.
Yep. Nice.
So yeah, just talking about the news stories.
Yeah, just newsing it up. I actually like this one better than the last one.
Definitely stronger.
I mean, it was longer, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
But and longer and stronger.
Yeah, we had Michael Che talking about how the Trump administration Trump is denying that there was any quid pro quo in his calls to Ukraine, and he says, "So you know there was mad quid pro quo. Yeah. He says, when a man with a 30-word vocabulary quotes the law in Latin, it's because he breaks that law all the time. which, yeah, I
it's
really
like why,
like
that's
that.
Why a guy who can barely count can tell you how much coke is illegal to have.
Yes, yeah.
Gotcha.
And he was like, it's 3 grams, by the way.
And there was another thing that Chase said where he's like, you know, after all the stuff Trump is doing, is it okay if we... Is it really okay that we keep making fun of this guy?
Yeah, because he was talking about Trump's idea of, you know, because he keeps harping on the wall. And right. He's saying we should have a moat filled with alligators and snakes.
Yeah.
Two animals that do not stay in the water.
No, they do not. There's actually a funny tweet. A friend of mine, Brian Yang, who's a comic from New York, where he retweeted that, you know, that news story about how he wants like a moat with snakes and alligators. And my friend Brian Yang tweeted, "My guy, that is literally a swamp."
Yes, that I saw that. That was
and
a great
I was
joke.
Like, oh, that's
pretty brilliant.
Good on you, Brian Yang.
Yeah,
but yeah, then Michael Che says, "I'm like, should we be making fun of him? Like, remember how in Of Mice and Men, Lenny was really strong?"
Yes. Yeah. Is Trump like really strong? Is it right that we were making fun of him?
Part of me kind of thought he would have gotten in trouble for saying that like the next day, but like, I mean,
well, he's kind of like, he was kind of dancing around. He did not use the R word,
right? But you know what he meant, but he didn't say it.
But he put that thought in our heads without
outright
saying it.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
He also made the point that like over the weekend, Trump tweeted 800 times and Chrissy Teigen tweeted like around 200. And he says, the president should be busier than Chrissy Teigen.
He really should be.
Yeah.
But I guess he's not. But people are okay with this and the world burns around us.
Yes. Yeah.
But it was like, it was a stronger... weekend update.
Yeah, it was. It was. We also had, we had
Elizabeth Warren.
We had Kate McKinnon appearing as Elizabeth Warren. And it's fun to see Kate like slowly perfecting her Elizabeth Warren. You know, she's kind of adds to it every time she comes back to her now. And it's, I liked, she was like, oh, the billionaires don't like me. Oh, no. Oh, no. and they also talked about this news story, this rumor that was started about her that she had a BSDM relation, or a BDSM relationship with a Marine.
Right.
And she's like, oh, yeah, that's so me. That's me for sure. And
yeah, I heard about that from, it's like, really?
Yeah,
like,
some.
I was like, whoa.
Stupid right wing site, I think, made up this story, which, you know, just so obviously not true.
Yeah, because I was like, because you know, your guy kind of pees on prostitutes, right?
Yeah.
You really want to go down this road? Yeah,
he brought dogs to the porn stars and paid some hush money.
Yeah. Like, is that...
You don't really have the moral high ground here.
Yeah, you're not... you're not who you think you are.
Yeah. And she made a joke about how BDSM stands for bank destroying and saving Medicare, which... that is on brand for Elizabeth Warren. And then we find out that Michael... she's calling her donors throughout her appearance, like, and her thing is because she doesn't take the big corporate money. She's calling all these small donors, like, you know, this Kevin in Utah who sent me $20, and then at the end of her segment, she calls Michael who donated 10 grand, and then she's calling Michael Che.
Who says,
"I like that she had sex with that Marine."
Fair enough.
So yeah. And next we had a new cast member Bowen Yang as Chen Bao.
Yeah.
Who is a Chinese trade representative. And Bowen was just throwing himself into this impression.
Yeah, throwing them Bowens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works. But Bowen Yang was really getting into it. Like, I was surprised, like, this is like his second appearance and he's like, he gets his own little weekend update segment. I think that's odd.
Well,
nice.
I think that's always a good way for new cast members to like establish themselves and give us a good feel for like their personality and what they can do, and
right,
you know, it's a good way for them to get their feet wet, you know,
absolutely,
yeah. So he did a nice job.
Great job.
And he was talking about with Trump, he was like, we actually built our wall,
oh.
And you can see it from space.
You burnt.
Nice shade there.
Fion, fion, fion.
And they had a great joke towards the end of the newscast about a man who like went to a musical festival and lost his car for a week, and they just said, we hope you make it back soon, Pete. And they put up a photo of Pete Davidson.
I laughed out loud at that one.
That was great because it was just so unexpected.
Yeah, because, again, second episode, no Pete Davidson.
Yeah, we forgot to mention this last week, but Pete Davidson is apparently away. He's shooting the Suicide Squad movie.
Right.
And I guess it
went long or something.
Yeah, or you know, just how the scheduling worked out, and Pete got permission from Lauren to miss a few shows at the beginning of the season.
I guess so, yeah, because I think, like, a lot of times when people don't see Pete on the show, people start to get worried a little bit.
Well, I mean, like, Pete has had a very volatile life. He's been up and down a lot in the last few years.
You don't say.
Yeah, I mean, he's the man's had his problems.
He has, but he seems to be doing all right.
And we wish Pete the best.
We do.
And we hope he's in a good place, and we look forward to him coming back to the show.
Stay strong, Pete.
I kind of missed him during the, what's wrong with this pitcher sketch, because I think his persona lends itself really well to he's good at playing like ignorant and oblivious people.
Oh yeah, I guess so, because he did that in like that Barbie sketch.
But in the first sketch, you know, he I thought he was very good for that,
right.
So I think
that makes
sense. I feel like if they bring that sketch back again, I would like to see Pete in it again.
Okay, so also I noticed on this throughout the show, no Melissa and no Heidi, which was
only saw him during the good nights,
right?
That was weird.
Huh.
That was unfortunate. I can only assume that they both had sketches that just, for whatever reason, didn't make it past dress.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a bummer. Because, like, yeah. I mean, like, Kate and Keenan were all over this show.
Mm-hmm.
And 80. So, like,
and even Chloe had some moments.
Yeah, so I couldn't fit Melissa in here.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, because they're both good with, like, character voices and accents, and this show had a fair amount of those.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's just luck of the draw sometimes.
Nature of the beast.
And it's not necessarily a reflection on the performer when they don't get a lot of stuff on the show. It's just how that goes.
Yeah, that's true.
The format of the show, they just tend to service the really popular, the really established cast members.
Yeah, I guess you're
You know,
right.
You got to get Kate in there. You got to get Keenan in there. You got to get...
People like the Kate.
Yeah.
People like the Keens.
Yeah, you got to get Cecily in there. And
yeah. Cecily Strong.
Yep. Lives up to her name.
Yeah. I don't know why I made that James Hetfield noise. And also at the end of Weekend Update, we had another appearance by Mort Fellner.
The super centenarian.
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 Old dude.
Yeah. Really old dude. He's like over 100.
Right.
And he's just reading stories about other super centenarians, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And right. You know, basically the joke is like all the people he reads about are dead.
Right, exactly.
And there's, you know, like it sounds like this over 100-year-old person accomplished something really impressive, right. But there's always a turn where, no, they just died hideously.
Yeah, like this one old man, he wanted to be a baseball player, so like, oh, he went and joined the Angels.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, the actual baseball team, he's not dead.
Oh.
But he took a swing, and I forget how he said it, but it was like, you know, he died.
Right.
It's a bunch of stories about how they always die at the end.
Yep.
And it's the same thing, like it hit the same beats as last time, like how he talks about this, you know, very elderly person, and it ends up with them dying.
There's a cute bit, and Mikey throws himself into the characterization, and Colin gives him some decent support and setting him up for this stuff and reacting properly.
Yeah, I mean, it's cute and charming enough that I was like, all right, I don't mind it.
Yeah, I don't mind them hauling this out every once in a while.
Yeah.
So.
Was it you that mentioned like last time that they did this, it kind of reminds you of something of like Tim Kazurinsky would do?
I might have said that.
Or maybe I saw it online.
I
don't remember anymore.
Maybe. I don't typically throw out the Tim Kazurinsky references willy-nilly.
You don't play that card all the time?
I don't, just largely because Tim was just a little before my time, before I started watching the show.
Oh.
So I'm not overly familiar with the stuff he did on SNL.
You're not familiar with the work of Officer Sweetchuck?
I'm familiar with that. I did watch a few Police Academy movies in my day.
Okay.
I was a teen in the 80s. I'm not going to deny it.
All right.
I am not going to deny it, Senator.
Do you deny?
I watched some Police Academy movies, and I am not ashamed of that.
I've seen Police Academy 4 and 5, and I will say that.
I must have been off by 5. I know I've seen the first two. I'm not sure if I've seen the third.
Well, 5, I mean, after 5 it started to go down. That's when Gutenberg left.
Gutenberg
left after 4.
Okay.
Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol, that's the one that had David Spade in it, and Sharon Stone.
I have not seen four. I know I have not seen four.
For some reason, like me and my sister, we really liked Police Academy 4. I think it because it came on Channel 11 all the time.
Right.
So like we like that's our like we'll be the only two people I know that can like quote Police Academy 4 to each other and like we get it.
So like it's a special bond that you two have.
It's a great, it's a funny movie.
Okay.
It's great. You see David Spade like skateboarding now, through a mall.
Okay, and now I remember the first Police Academy pretty well, and then Police Academy 2 was like their first assignment.
Their first assignment.
What was Police Academy 3?
Back in training.
Back in training.
Then Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol, Police Academy.
Is that when they go back and they start training like a new generation?
Yeah, I think that might be the first time we see Zed, played by Bobcats Goldthwait.
Well, Zed was like the gang leader in 2. He was like the villain in Police Academy 2. And then he becomes a cop. Okay, so I have seen Police Academy 3.
Yeah, that's the one that they didn't have Officer Harris.
Right.
And they had some other dude, and it wasn't that great. But then Harris came back in Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol, which was you know their crowning achievement. And then there was Police Academy 5.
Assignment Miami, Miami Beach. Okay.
Then Police Academy 6.
And at some point they went like direct to video, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think Police Academy 6 was City Under Siege.
And
Police Academy 7 was like Mission to Moscow.
Okay.
Police Academy, I think that was it. There might have been a Police Academy 8. Don't hold me to that.
We could look it up, but I honestly, I don't think I care that much.
If I got all of those right, like that was off the dome. I didn't even look at my phone.
No, he is literally thinking this off the top of his head.
You're impressed.
I kinda am. I kinda am.
Impressed much?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we all have our accomplishments. You
we
know?
Do. Yeah. We're both. Yeah. You go to Comic-Con, and I know all the Police Academy movies off the top of my head.
Right. Yeah.
There you go. We all have our thing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
What were we talking about?
I don't know. We were finishing up a weekend update, and we somehow went on a Police Academy tangent. I look forward to listening back to this to find out how that happened.
It's going
to
be great.
I don't remember.
Oh, my God. I mean, that Blue Oyster sketch was, I mean, the bar.
Again, saxophone. 80s saxophone.
Another saxophone. Yeah. Wow, saxophone has played a bigger part in my life than I realized.
80s saxophone, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry. Next sketch, Royal Romance. Royal Romance. Let's get this train back on track.
Yes. This was a look at a lesser known duchess in the British family who married a character named Jimmy J. Robinson, who was played by Keenan, who was this blaxploitation actor, and he's in a the flamboyant dress that you find in a 70s blaxploitation film.
Yeah, I mean he goes by the name of Thunderstick. He's basically Dolomite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, like, he does kung fu poorly and talks about his sexual prowess.
And we find out he knighted Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yes.
Which I really like that gag. That was a cute gag.
That was a cute gag. And, that's pretty much it. It's basically like a BBC documentary about this, unknown part of, BBC history. And it's just like Keenan kind of chewing up the scenery, being like this pimp dude. And it was fun. It was like, all these British proper people saying, it's black.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it was just the fun contrast between the ever-so-proper British royal family and, the 70s blaxploitation people.
Exactly. And their marriage ended because, he cheated on her with a Waffle House waitress.
Yeah.
Which I thought, that's funny.
Yeah. Well, that was cute.
Yeah, it wasn't that memorable, but it was all right.
Mm-hmm.
It was so-so.
Final sketch of the night.
Yeah, it was like this... this bar sketch where
Buddy's Stateline Bar. We had Kate McKinnon, Aidy Bryant, Cecily Strong, and Phoebe Waller-Bridge as these white trash ladies at the bar, and they're all harassing Beck Bennett.
Yes, because he's like the hot dude of the town, I guess.
Hot mulleted dude.
Yeah,
and
they all kind of tell him off, but they really all secretly want to get with him.
Yeah, they're all like whispering sweet nothings into his ear, and then alternating that with slamming various objects over his head.
Yeah, I mean this sketch was kind of all over the place. It was a little.
It was an odd sketch. It was fun to see them all in mullets and tattoos and stuff.
And like Phoebe Waller trying to put on like a southern,
an American southern accent.
Yeah, but I don't know. There's something about it. It didn't feel like it was done. I feel like it was missing.
I mean, it's the type of thing you find at the end of the night.
Yeah, let's land this plane.
It was it was fine. It took up the 4 minutes of airtime.
It ate up time. Great.
You know, Cecily looks surprisingly good in a mullet.
I would say. I mean, hey, if anybody can rock a mullet, it's Cecily.
Yeah. She's got good wig game.
Yeah, yeah. But wig game's on point.
Yep. You know, it was an odd sketch, not my favorite of the night.
Nah, it was kind of like, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just like basically that.
Yep.
Them telling off a dude, and that was pretty much it, and that's the show.
That was the show.
Yeah.
But I thought this was a pretty solid show overall. I think it was definitely a step up from the season premiere.
I'll give you that.
Wait. Yeah. I mean, because this had like, I think, at least two pretty, no, I would say three really strong sketches.
What, the midday news?
The midday news, the letters from home, I think those were both chef's kiss. Impeccable.
Compliments to the chef.
I think the what's wrong with this picture, that was solid.
Okay.
I enjoyed that.
The weekend update was stronger. I'll give you that.
Weekend update was a step up. But I mean, I think those three sketches, those were really good. And I think if you get three strong sketches in a single show, you're doing all right.
All right, I'll give you. I'm trying to think of what was happening last. I mean, I know like the apple sketch, the apple picking sketch, and then everything else was like so. So yeah, I guess this was the step up.
I think the premiere was a little off. You know, people are getting their sea legs back. You know,
yeah.
And this one, it felt more like they hit the ground running, and it was stronger writing, it was stronger performances.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think it was just a stronger show all the way around. I thought Phoebe Waller-Bridge was a pretty good host.
Yeah, she was pretty apt.
She was game. She's, you know, she do lots of stuff.
Yeah.
And she blended in well with the cast. She gave as good as she got.
Yeah, she does stuff and the things that it was good.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing her come back.
Yeah. So, yeah, just thumbs up for us.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And let's see. We mentioned that we unfortunately only saw Heidi and Melissa during the good nights.
Yeah, that was a bummer. It's like,
hope to see more of them next week. I miss them because they were kind of late last week too.
Yeah. Hopefully. So, I mean, it does seem like, I don't know. I still feel like they could have put them in there somewhere. It seems like, I mean, but then again, this is a huge cast this year, so it's hard.
Yeah, to, I mean,
fit
it's
in people, but
I think Lauren, he always likes having a deep bench of people because I don't think he ever wants to remake the show from the ground up again, where it's like he brings in an almost totally new cast, the way he did in like 86 and around 95.
Yeah, he doesn't want that mid-90s thing happening again.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's got to be just stressful.
Oof.
I mean, it was stupendously successful both times he did it, and those were both, you know, great eras of the show, but
makes sense.
I can see, you know, Lauren's getting older. He probably doesn't want that hassle.
I hear you. That makes sense.
So
that makes sense. Okay.
But but I thought this was a fun show.
Yeah.
And next week the fun continues with David Harbour as the host and Camila Cabello as the musical guest.
I look forward to this. I mean, David Harbour,
Stranger Things.
I mean, he's like one of those actors like Stranger Things is the one he's known for, but I think he's done a bunch of stuff in movies here and there.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that's been around forever, but he finally broke through in Stranger Things.
Character actor.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, from what I've seen him in interviews and whatnot, he seems like pretty, I think I remember reading somewhere or seeing somewhere he kind of maybe have a Liev Schreiber type of energy where he's like kind of serious, but he can be like the goofy comedy type.
I think he definitely has a goofy side. I don't think you play Hellboy unless you have a bit of a goof in you.
Lord, no. Did you see that Hellboy? Or?
I did not. I know the reviews were pretty bad. And I mean, I'm a fan of Hellboy, the Hellboy character, and the Hellboy movies that they did before with Ron Perlman. But I don't know. It just looked to me like, well, is it really necessary? Do we need a new Hellboy at this point?
No. I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Yeah, I mean, nothing against David Harbour or anybody who worked on the film. I think I would have rather seen Ron Perlman and Guillermo del Toro come back and finish up the trilogy they started. But, you know, I think that bird has flown.
Oh, dear.
That ship has sailed.
Oh, dear.
But, but I'm looking forward to seeing what David Harbour is going to do on the show. I bet he's going to be good. Yeah. And
Camila Cabello. I mean, I just know her from that Havana song.
Ah.
Havana, no, no.
Okay, so Camilla is not the chicken from the Muppet Show.
No.
Okay.
They did not book the chicken from the Muppet Show to sing on Saturday Night Live. Are you still going to watch it now?
That's a shame. That's kind of disappointing. But no.
That's the only Camilla you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. I'll allow it.
I mean, do I need to know another Camilla?
probably not.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. But yeah, so that's our show, and
that's the show.
I mean, as far as like tweets go, I don't think we've gotten anything, but we have gotten a review.
Oh, you know, we did have an interesting thing on Twitter the other day where someone talked to us about they thought we were picking fights with other.
Oh, you want to get to this?
Yeah,
yeah.
I think we should get into this.
Fight.
Let me find this. Where was it? I should have been more prepared for this.
Oh boy!
But we did get a new review on iTunes.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Do we want to read that? Do we want to?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. So we got some interesting feedback on that.
So we got a review last week on Wednesday, and it's one star.
Mm-hmm.
It's titled "Shh." Mm-hmm. And it just has one sentence.
Okay.
From number one Anoop fan. And
it was A-N-O-O-P?
Yes.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. If anybody knows what Anoop is.
What is an Anoop fan?
Is that like some street lingo for some new narcotic or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's street jargon. But anyway, number one Anoop fan simply says, some people don't deserve mouths. And that's hurtful.
That seems negative.
It does.
I mean, they don't explicitly identify us as people who don't deserve mouths, but the implication is there.
Causative implication.
Yeah.
But the fact that they said that on our, you know, on our, about our website, about our podcast, I'm assuming they mean us.
Yeah.
And, you know, words hurt. And
I kind of enjoy that.
Oh,
I mean, I think that's so funny.
Oh my god!
That we somehow piss them off enough that
they have to let us.
They
know.
Felt the drive to just be like, they don't deserve mouths. And I'm really curious as to like what set this person off.
I don't know. I mean, maybe,
I don't know.
I mean, we try to be nice on this thing. I mean, we are. You know, a little critical of some people, so maybe it's
we
one
do
of
be
them.
Critical.
We be critical, baby. So maybe it's one of those people, or
but it comes from a place of love.
Yeah, exactly.
If we're critical, it's because we want the show to be the best it can be.
Exactly.
And we wouldn't watch the show if we didn't like it, and if we didn't enjoy it more than we dislike it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So sorry, number one Anoop fan. We just tell it like it is. You can't handle
that's
the truth.
Right.
We're not here to make friends.
Too real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people don't deserve Apple Podcast accounts. How about that?
Yeah.
What about you?
Ooh,
yeah.
Got him.
Brap.
Yeah.
Booyaka, booyaka.
All right. I found the tweet I was looking for. Tim.
Shikali?
Shikali, yeah.
From That Week in SNL.
From That Week in SNL. He says, I started listening to the last episode of SNL Nerd Shows and was instantly saddened by them picking a fight with SNL Super Friends, who, as far as I can tell, haven't released their first episode yet. Sad. Hashtag wanna pick a fight. Hashtag I'm your Huckleberry. He has a little gif of Val Kilmer from Tombstone. Mm. Hashtag cyberbullying. Hashtag team SNL Super Friends.
Oh boy.
So
lines have been drawn.
So he sends out a tweet saying that we're picking a fight with the SNL Super Friends podcast, and he's essentially picking a fight with us.
Exactly.
So
who's the bully now, Tim Shikali?
Yeah, yeah.
And, that's right.
Yeah.
Be best.
So,
yeah. We're making enemies left and right, apparently, this week.
That's right.
Don't nobody like us.
That's right. No, we're
not here to make friends.
We had to be brought down a few pegs, I guess.
Yeah.
I was getting a big head from the whole New York Comic Con thing.
Exactly. You met Lorraine Newman and Kyle Mooney.
Yeah. And then Tim follows up later. He says, you know, I said, you know, you're familiar with jokes.
Yeah,
right,
of
Tim?
Course.
And then they pointed out that he is on That Week in SNL, so perhaps he is not actually familiar with jokes.
Oh! Woo!
This is something the actual That Week in SNL podcast said. But if I'm to guess, this was just continued japery from your show. I love that you use the word japery, by the way, and because we are big japers.
Yes,
big japers. Below in smaller type after saxophone aficionado on Aaron's business card, it says amateur japer.
Amateur japer. Yes.
And then Tim follows up. He says, "I'm not kidding. You guys are bullies." And then hashtag be best.
Oh.
Followed with a gif of Jon Stewart saying, "I'm just kidding." But yeah.
So it's good natured ribbing all around.
So then I just asked him to give us his lunch money.
Oh, good.
Because if we're going to be bullies, let's lean into it.
I guess we're going to lean into this bully mentality. We're going to be like the...
This is a fight.
It's right.
You and us, we're fighting now. This is a fight. We're fighting.
Oh, that's... what, 3 o'clock high?
That was me actually referencing a Community episode, but...
Oh, son of a beasting. You're right. I should have known that.
I've never seen 3 o'clock high.
Me neither. I just... People say it's good, but I haven't seen it.
Okay.
All right. Well, there we go. That's how we learn.
Some of Casey Schmatzko's finest work.
Gesundheit.
Yeah.
Who's... Okay.
He was the star of 3 o'clock high, if I remember correctly.
Okay. I'll give you... All right. That's cool.
Also, Biff's henchman in the Back to the Future movies.
Oh, was he the one with the always wearing a 3D sunglasses?
Yes, I believe he was 3D.
Interesting.
So, you learned a little something.
So you learned today about Biff today, and we learned about Police Academy.
Yep.
80s saxophone.
Right.
And we talked about Saturday Night Live a little bit too.
We talked about Saturday Night Live around the edges. So, yeah. Another successful podcast.
Hot damn.
Yep. So, please join us next week. In the meantime, if you want to leave more hurtful comments to us, you can find us on Twitter at SNL Nerd Show.
Yeah, yeah.
You can leave more hurtful comments or positive comments.
I think I prefer that.
On Apple Music Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can follow our individual accounts as well. I'm at Trumbull Comic on Twitter.
And I'm at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I Incredible. If you want to see me do some comedy, I got a show on Wednesday, October 16th. Comedy and Prozac show in Montclair, New Jersey at the Clear Story Fine Art. It's like an art gallery thing.
Cool.
Then they do comedy there and you can bring beer. And this is a good one. On Sunday, October 20th, I'm doing Bruja. It's this show. I think it's a fundraiser. I'm not 100% sure. But it's a show that has 50 comics on it. And
you mentioned that before.
Yeah, 50 comics and we all tell one joke.
Yeah.
So if you want to come out to the Asbury Park Brewery in beautiful Asbury Park, New Jersey, you come out. See me tell a joke and drink many beers.
Yeah, and then just hang out at the bar with Darren, and you two can talk about saxophone.
That's right.
Songs and stuff.
Chop it up about the sax.
And I should mention, I almost forgot. I'm on another podcast this week. I'm on the Superman Movie Minute with my friends Rob Kelly and Chris Franklin, where they go through the Superman movies 5 minutes at a time. I guess started on it a few times before. There's like a whole legion of podcasts. They go through movies.
5 minutes at a time.
5 minutes. There are some Star Wars podcasts that go through it 1 minute at a time. And they have an episode about each minute.
That seems like a lot.
That seems like a lot. But it's so much fun. They're on to Superman 2 now. We did a 5 minute chunk from Superman 2.
So the episode is just about those 5 minutes?
Right. I mean, they cover the entire movie, but you just cover it in 5 minute chunks.
All right. Okay. No, I'm just... All right. Okay.
Give it a listen. It's fun.
I will give it a listen.
It's fun. We're talking about the Superman 2, Chris Reeve Superman movies. The chunk I'm doing, it was Luther meeting in the White House with the Phantom Zone villains, and I get to talk about how great Terrence Stamp is as General Zod. I mean...
Great. Oh, Neil before Zod.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the classic performances.
Slick back hair, shirt all open.
Yeah.
Chest hair.
Right.
Just waving.
A leather jumpsuit. And
yeah. God, man, it's magnificent.
Yeah, he's a specimen.
Mm-hmm.
So check that out. That's Superman Movie Minute, and you can find it wherever you found this podcast.
Yeah, and as always, you can donate to our Patreon. Check us out on nondeathproductive.com. Give us money, please.
Yeah. And please check out some of the other shows on the Nonproductive Network. So you can probably, if you like this show, you can probably find something else you like there.
Yeah.
So, all right, that is it for us this week. Until then...
Nerds out!
This has been a Nonproductive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Nonproductive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.